Welcome to a Neuroscience episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight, I'm joined by the man with the, we call him the Black Mask, because he's got a black avatar picture up, if you're watching the video podcast right now. He was absent the last couple of weeks, but he was gracious enough to join us at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Hey, everybody. Happy to be back in the house.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
The man behind the sound effects is our own at @agent_70 on Twitter.
Yeah, what's up, everybody?
And last but not least, we have the man that runs the popculturenetwork.com website. He's at @PCN_dirt on Twitter.
Yay. And remember, all statements made by Dirt on this show do not reflect the Click Nation or the Comic Book Chronicles.
They only reflect popculturenetwork.com.
No, not even that. Just me. Just me.
And, of course, I'm at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation.com on Twitter. Make sure to go to the website, TheClickNation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and read comic book reviews. As I said, make sure to follow the Twitter account at TheClickNation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to give us 5-star reviews and leave us reviews to read on the show. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com.
And join the conversation with hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, all these other places, IRC, Comic Book Cron, Skype Line, Comic Book Chronicles, Feedly, MySpace, Friendster, whatever, all that. Actually, one of those is actually true. So,
one of the 15 you just named?
Yeah, one of those is actually true.
You can also call the Click Nation Chronicles party line. It's 1-909-PRON.
9900.
99 minutes are free.
And also, make sure to remember that we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always find the link on the top of the TheClickNation.com website on Thursday nights. So, a couple of weeks ago, we got the bright idea to piggyback on the NBA draft and come up with our
NFL
own
draft. But that's by the time we did, it was almost the NBA draft.
Yeah, I'm thinking NBA because they had the NBA draft lottery this week.
Right.
To see who got the number one pick. So, yes, the NFL draft. So we came up with our own Comic Book Chronicles annual fantasy draft where we all selected comic books from the major publishers, and we're going by the monthly rankings to see who can assemble the team that has the most sales of comics. So let's go over the order and what comics each of us selected. So to make sure it was a random picking order, I just did a quick Google search for a random number generator, list generator, and it just let me put our names in like a list, and it just auto came up with the order. So the order was Agent 70 had the first pick. I had the second pick. Roddy Cat the third, and Dirt fourth. And it was a snake draft, so it goes 1-2-3-4-4-3-2-1. And with the first pick, Agent 70 took Amazing Spider-Man. why did you? Yeah, why did you decide to lead off with the amazing one?
I think I'm still going off of, despite, you know, we all know that number two issues kind of drop off after the, you know, the new number one. I figured post Superior Spidey Ock, you know, post Amazing Spidey 2 in the theaters, there's still going to be a bump in sales for Amazing Spidey for the 6 months that we're going to be running this particular round of I'm not sure what we're calling this now, but the sales competition or Combo Chronicles competition for now. So I figure for those 6 months, I think Spidey's going to be a strong seller.
Okay. It makes sense. And with the second pick, I went with All New X-Men. Number one, because I've been enjoying the comic.
Because you picked with your heart.
Yeah, I picked with my heart, and it's one of Marvel's better, best-selling books. I should also go over the... So we had a couple rounds, and we decided to do it where... It'd be nice if I gave this...
Round one was Marvel.
Right.
Round two was DC and Image. Round three was...
Dark Horse and Dynamite.
Or Dynamite and Dark Horse. And then was round four...
Boom.
And IDW
and Boom, I think.
And then round five was just anybody you want from any company.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, round one, everyone had to take a Marvel book. Round two, everyone had to take a DC or Image, et cetera, et cetera. So I took All New X-Men because, one, I've been enjoying it, and I believe it's the highest selling X-Men book, so can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a consistent seller.
Yes. It'd be nice if we had started this when it first launched, it would have been nice when it was double shipping, but what can you do?
Right. Well, same with Spidey, you know, when it was double shipping. You know, but I think you'll get a bump from the movie, too, so...
Although, how are we going to do that? If two issues of the same book come out in a month, do you average the two, or do you just take the higher one?
Well, we'll have to get to that later with a book that you selected, I believe. Won't we have to do the same... When we get to it a little later... Actually, in, like, three or four more picks, we can actually discuss that. Roddy... Cat took Miss Marvel with the number three pick.
Yeah, I figured that. Yeah, really. Hey, look, that book's gonna do all right, and it's still in the early ages where people are still trying to get to know her. So, I think that was a solid pick.
Okay, I will say I am enjoying the book, but you're gonna be struggling.
Yeah, I don't know sales-wise how that's going to do compared to the other, you know, to the bigger titles.
And Dirt, with his first pick of the first round, went with Original Sin.
Which just seemed to make sense, that being a big crossover book like it is. We're doing 6 months. It should last the whole run of the 6 months. And just the numbers, numbers shouldn't drop off too terribly from month to month. It should be consistent all the way through. And if it exposes the Marvel Universe like you've never seen it before, then it may actually go up in sales. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, see, I have a theory about that, because I actually was going to make that pick, because that's why I was asking about events. But I was kind of wondering about that, because that event could end up kind of fizzling out while it's going on. I doubt if it will.
Yeah, I doubt that.
But yeah, I'm also thinking that... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was about to say, I was thinking that the tie-ins might actually, in this case, might end up being the more of the draw, even though logically that doesn't sound right. But if you think about it, all the tie-ins are going to be the ones that's exposing everything, you know. So that for those would probably be the ones to kind of get a bump in sales.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah.
All right, so that ended the first round. So Dirt got to start off the second round with the book that I was waiting to bring the discussion on, how to average the twice-a-month books, because he went with Batman Eternal. So that's not even twice a month. Yeah, that's a weekly. Four times a month.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you have to take into account every issue, right?
I would think so. I mean, you can't just keep adding the sales. Like,
right, if it's no, that wouldn't
two,
be fair,
three,
right?
Four, and five, you can't just say, oh, well, I get two, three, four, and five. I think you either have to take the top one and just say that's as good as it placed that month. You know, that's the best placing it had. So you just take the top one, or you'd have to average every entry, which would actually bring it down a little.
Yeah, I was thinking average, but yeah, being that you said it would bring it down some, that would cause a problem.
Well, I mean, that's a you know, risk you take. That's the gamble you take. So if we do the average, you know, because I mean, what if Uncanny Avengers does a double up on a month? That, you know, first week of the month, last week of the month, right. When they do 5 weeks, it's possible, you know, something like that could happen.
Right.
Do you average the two, or do you just take the best selling one for the month?
Right. Well, if you think about it, you know, at best, Your number is going to be 2 point, you know, going to be two, because let's say it finishes 1 through 4. You take the average, you know?
So I mean, you could do it either way, but I think now that we've made our picks, we have to make that determination on how we're going to do it when it happens. Right. So what does everybody want to do?
I feel like the average for that book specifically would probably be better than some books, you know, that ship a month.
But that's the whole point.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying in using it, using the average in determining the sales during the whole month would work out for that one way or the other if you average them.
I'm fine with average. You know, I'm fine with taking the average.
Yeah, I was thinking average as well.
And I would assume we would handle like an annual the same way. If New Avengers and New Avengers Annual both came out in the same month, I would assume you would have to average the two together. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
This will be interesting.
Right. But I don't know. I mean, see, the annuals are different because I think annuals – I wouldn't even count an annual because the annuals, you know, how many people really buy annuals? I think that really skews the number. But I think a weekly issue, you know, should be – you know, something that comes out weekly should be average. I don't think annuals should be counted towards the monthly book.
Okay.
I mean, anybody subscribing is going to get the annual.
And most of the annual isn't going to beat the regular book, I don't think.
Yeah, far from it.
So the annual something. Would probably just bring down whatever the regular book
is. Yeah.
So annuals are out.
Weeklies.
Or biweeklies, whatever, we would do the average.
Okay.
All right.
Because Original Sin's going biweekly, I believe, right? Or am I incorrect? Actually, no, it can't be going biweekly because it's going all the way to like. Well,
it's going up August. Eight, so.
Yeah, it's definitely going. I don't think it's going to reach the entire 6 months that we're running this, but it's definitely going to be close.
Okay.
No, wait, actually, I think it is, but anyway.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just going to be just short by like a couple of weeks or something, but
yeah. Well, I was going to say, I'm making notes. What month are we starting with? We said we're going to start with May.
Right.
Yeah, because the April one was already out, I think. So
yeah, I'm just jotting that down for.
Okay, wait, let me see what the last one.
Memory.
Let's see, Diamond Comics sales numbers. What's the last one? Yeah, April 2014 is already out, so we're starting with May 2014.
Okay. All right. Back to the draft. Radicat took Saga from Image, the first Image book.
I mean, duh. She came back this week, by the way.
Yep.
Go get her.
I followed with Batman. Kind of a
no-brainer.
Along with Agent 70's The Walking Dead.
Yep.
So now we're into round three with the Dark Horse / Dynamite. Agent 70 took Star Wars. I took Hellboy and Hell. Radicat took the Mind Management, and Dirt took Dr. Spectre.
Oh, wow. I did
nice, nice out of the. I guess I can't even call any of these out of the box because we're into the independence now.
What do we do in a month? Well, I guess in a month, like Hellboy in Hell isn't exactly monthly.
Yeah, I saw that after I made the pick. I saw that and I was like, ah.
But I guess you just don't get points. Like,
yeah,
you just because it's the lowest. Right. Well, no, wait a minute. Let's think about this.
You just don't get any points.
Well, yeah, but you want lowest points, right? Because if you're number one, you have 1 point. If you don't chart, you get zero. Well, then suddenly your point total is going lower.
Or do we just add up everyone's sales each month? That's what I thought, originally thought we were doing it. Where
so we'll just add it by sales numbers then? Yeah. So then if you don't sell any that month, you just have a zero?
Whoever has the biggest gross at the end of the 6 months wins.
Okay. All right.
All right. I mean, yeah, you know, that kind of turned, you know, now that I think about it, like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, what do you do? Do you give that person 100, you know, like if it doesn't come out that week to kind of, you know, to really impact them for now?
Yeah, you can get the top 300. So if they don't appear in the top 300, then they just get 300 points. Yeah. I mean, you either have to do it that way or you just have to do it by raw sales numbers.
Which none of those books that we have picked, I'm pretty sure is not going to be in the. I mean, you know, there's not a chance of any of them not being in 300. So,
yeah, we shall see. Okay, let's see. So round four, Dirt took My Little Pony Friendship is Magic in honor of his daughter.
That one's for my daughter. Yeah.
So he says.
Roddy Cat took Adventure Time. That was where you tried to take My Little Pony, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, Agent 70 tried to snipe me on that one.
I took the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the solo series, not any of the many animated adventures and whatever else. Yeah, then Agent 70 came back with X-Files Season 10.
Interesting.
And then final round, which was the wild card, Agent 70 took Uncanny X-Men. I took Justice League, which pissed Dirt off.
Very much so. Very much.
And I told you originally that I was debating on two DC books, and it was between Justice League and, surprise, surprise, Harley Quinn. And I settled on Justice League. Harley Quinn's up there for some reason.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, I know the reason.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But let's see. And then Roddy Cat took Sex Criminals, and Dirt ended with Avengers.
Which I guess brings up something else. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the only reason why I took Avengers is because I'm thinking with the Original Sin tie-ins, hopefully it's going to go up. So my Original Sin miniseries, as well as the tie-in with Avengers, I think that's going to be my 1-2 punch to take you guys down.
I like what they were thinking, because I actually, which brings up, because I think, Tim, you had mentioned something about doing a post or something on the picks that you decided against or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about something like that, because both of those picks I had considered for one reason or another, but just didn't go with.
Yeah, you went out the box.
Yeah.
Hopefully Sex Criminals comes out and isn't on hiatus.
No, it's coming back out. It'll be out in either this month or June, I think, because I made sure I checked that out before I picked it.
Oh, okay, smart.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was our Comic Book Chronicles draft. Hopefully you guys will enjoy the monthly updates as much as we will.
And all the smack talk that's going to come every show that we do a recap of the monthly numbers.
Watch me steamroll all these monkeys right out of the game.
Yeah. All right, so now to news, which there is a lot of. So we'll try to get through majority of this semi-quickly, unless a heated debate sparks.
There's only one thing I want to mention about before, or two, but go for it.
In TV news, which I'm sure we're jumping back and forth between that and other news later, the Agent Carter television series will only be 8 episodes for season 1, and it'll air when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on break.
More Haley Atwell is a good thing.
That was a smart move.
Skip that. Let's see, at some Diamond Retailer Summit. And was it Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Marvel announced that they had a lot of events coming up, one being Jonathan Hickman's Avengers and New Avengers colliding in some type of story called Time Runs Out, where the Avengers books are going to skip ahead 8 months in the month of September, coinciding with DC jumping 5 years in the future for their books.
Which pretty much confirms my theory that they read from the same book. Because this can't be coincidence that they read from the same book. It seems that their events are either, if not around the same time, then either one after the other and just flip-flopping. Their events seem to kind of seem similar.
But at the same time, a lot of times they do that on purpose.
Yeah.
Where someone does an event and they think, oh, well, let's kind of cash in on that, or, you know, grab the coattails or try to outdo them. And so then they do something that's kind of similar to, you know, one up them or whatever.
We can do this better.
But I think the bigger thing is not as much the skip ahead 8 months, but in 2015, there's talk that there might be an actual Marvel Universe reboot similar to what happened with the New 52.
Who actually believes that, though?
It's possible.
I think there's a strong feeling in the industry that it's probably due. I know that Marvel is definitely, you know, they definitely brag about the fact that they don't have to reboot, that they have strong enough, you know, characters in writing that they just sort of sidestep anything that they don't want to deal with and keep on going, you know? That's generally how I've read, you know, Quesada and some of the other, like Alonso kind of deal with the question of rebooting the universe. But, you know, I'm starting to think, well, you know, at this point in their history, you know, 50 plus years, maybe it is time to reboot. And that's something, you know, that says a lot, that it's come from me, kind of the, you know, one of the traditionalists here on the Comic Book Chronicles.
Well, I think also, if you think about Marvel's editorial policy of the last few years, where the idea has been, you cancel the book, you reboot it with a new number one, you know, you make a new volume out of it, you get a whole bunch of people excited for this new number one, and you keep doing these, Wolverine's going to die, you know, the Avengers are torn apart, the Avengers are born again, the Fantastic Four is shunted into another dimension, you know, all of this type of stuff that they keep doing, that it's, they're probably looking at everything going, well, that is kind of the next step. I mean, you want a whole bunch of new number ones, you want a whole bunch of, you know, new reader, level playing field, coming at the first floor type books. That's really the way you're going to do it, generate all that interest, is to just basically flush everything aside, start brand new, and you're going to have, you know, your giant event. And hopefully they've learned from some of the mistakes DC has made with New 52, with the, you know, the way New 52 said, okay, everything's brand new, and then they skipped ahead 5 years so they could just throw in a bunch of random history. Hopefully Marvel's learned from that lesson and is going to straight up do whole new universe. You get to see the origins. You get to see the characters build. You get to see the teams come together instead of the way DC did it with the New 52.
Well, the thing is, I think the biggest takeaway I think that Marvel can take from how DC kind of screwed things up is that for what they thought were, I guess, the strongest books going into the New 52, they kept Green Lantern stuff. They kept Batman stuff, and they basically rebooted everybody else. And I think what they need to do is just take the best of each book, you know, and just keep that moving forward.
Well, but at the same time, I knew a lot of people who they wanted to see Dick Grayson become Robin again. They wanted to see Superman fight Doomsday for the first time. They wanted to see all of the stuff that they've missed over the years because of the way comic book history goes. And there was all this excitement for seeing that in the New 52. And then it happened, and it was just like, oh, yeah, well, that stuff happened, you know, 2 years ago. We're jumping ahead 5 years, so you don't get to see any of that stuff, and everything's just established and already running. And a lot of people were – you know, kind of upset that they didn't get to see that kind of stuff. And I think that's the one thing that really hurt them on a lot of those books. A lot of people wanted Green Lantern to be wiped out, you know, just go back to the green, not have the indigo and the orange and the red and, you know, everything else. It's like, let's go back to the core of that and rebuild it back up. And DC was like, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing, except now we've skipped ahead, so everything's back in place.
The only issue I see with that, with even, I guess, why DC probably didn't do it too, is because then you end up, you know, there's these smaller families inside each universe, like the Batman family of books and the Green Lantern family of books. If you just go back and have just like Batman and a Robin sidekick, one Robin, the first Robin, and Hal Jordan's the only Green Lantern, and get rid of all the other spectrums, then you end up losing all these family core books that you can spin stuff out of.
And you'll still have the people saying, hey, how come Wally West isn't back? Hey, how come this person isn't back? Or that person isn't back? You know, that wasn't going to change one way or the other. But with the Marvel stuff, I can't help but think that if the Ultimate Universe worked out a lot better, that could have been the quote-unquote reboot, because that's kind of technically what it was, or a spinoff universe that realistically ended up going back into the regular universe thanks to the movies. So
yeah.
I can't help but think that's kind of already happened, plus could have, you know, worked out a lot better.
I hope they don't reboot.
Yeah. That's, I mean, they've kind of already blurred some lines already, so something's going to happen.
Isn't that a Robin Thicke song?
Yeah, I was trying not to do that one, but...
Now it's in my head, not going to sing it.
Not going to sing it.
Yeah, the best song about date rape you heard all last year.
Remender is... So Rick Remender is building up to some event, Avengers X-Men event called Axis, standing for Axis of Evil, apparently. And that's AVX, all we really know about it.
AVX part 3.
I like that Remender's getting to do an event book, because I enjoy his Marvel work, especially his event. Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, and his X-Force work. So, and then, but I think I hope that's not going on the same.
What is that?
That's my next door neighbor.
I hope that it's not taking place at the same time as Time Runs Out. Marvel loves to have events take place on top of each other, or this is the event of the year, and then 3 months later, this is the event of the year. Like with Age of Ultron. And,
yeah, I was going to say, not everything can be as good as Age of Ultron. You know?
Oh, no.
And Infinity taking place in the same year. So, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes!
Another family of books is getting another book added to its family with Guardians 3000.
Woo!
Which has Roddy Kent excited.
Original Recipe Guardians.
So you're a fan of the original Guardians.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, going back to, because I hear when I talked about the 100th issue, what was that, last week or week before last? Or whatever it was.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I had questions about that one backstory with them in it. And given that news of this coming, I was like, I wonder if this was intentionally spun out from that, which you got to figure it was. But I'm excited for this. I was a fan of the original crew and the book in the 90s, which they don't have a Marvel site yet. Thank you very much, Marvel. Get that out there. So I'm kind of curious to see how to go with it. And the only thing about the backstory was like they didn't have Nikki. And it seemed to be after Vance Astro found the shield, so I'm kind of curious as to, whether they're going to address what has already taken place.
Educate me on this Vance Astro character. Is he wearing a blue suit,
so
or is he just an alien that's blue?
No, he is. So he was an astronaut that was basically cryogenically frozen and found in the year like 3000, whatever it was, basically like Captain America style. And when the Badoon take over, he was enslaved. And I think his telekinetic powers came out around the time. But he has to stay in the suit because he's like, you know, hundreds and thousands, hundreds of years old. And if he comes out the suit, he will wither and die. You know, his body will rot away.
So that's a suit he's wearing.
Yeah. And there was one time where he changed his name to Major Victory and ended up being out of the suit for a time for some kind of way. Magic. I don't know what it was. That book was kind of crazy, but I loved it.
Jim Valentino.
Yep.
Since we're talking Guardians of the Galaxy, let's mention that they released the second trailer for the movie, which comes out in August, I think.
Hooked on a feeling. Da, 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 da.
I enjoyed the second trailer.
That song stuck in my head every time I watch the trailer. You start talking about it, pops into my head.
I'm excited for Guardians now.
I am.
It looks good.
Was there anything in this trailer that stood out, or
rocket speeds?
And the voice doesn't match to me now.
Does he have an Australian accent?
No, he just sounds like Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Which is odd. And we heard Groot, aka Vin Diesel.
I am Groot.
Yep. Let's see, the August 2014 solicits came out. So we had some books being canceled. The news from the big two from Marvel and DC. DC is canceling Birds of Prey, Batwing, and All-Star Western.
Too bad. So sad.
Yeah, well, we know where the Nightwing is going, so.
Yeah. And Birds of Prey.
I didn't know that was still a book.
Batman Eternal. Let's see. Wonder Woman is getting a digital first anthology, starting with a story by Gail Simone and Ethan Van Sciver.
Cool.
Some more stuff coming out of the solicits for Marvel. Let's see. Mark Waid will be stepping down from writing Hulk in August to be replaced by Jerry Duggan.
Yep.
Writer of Nova and co-writer on Deadpool.
Deadpool.
So that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Like I tweeted out, he's moving up the Marvel food chain, it appears. And supposedly, I think
he
teased that there's some other stuff not yet to be announced. So, because he actually said that in a Newsrama article, he said that he was cutting back on his non-comic books work so he could take on more comic. Or so he could focus full-time on comic books.
Good deal.
And along with that news, today it was announced that Karen Gillan will be stepping away from Iron Man. And that's because he got some other high-profile Marvel gig that he couldn't pass up, which meant he had to give up something to make time for it, which led me to start speculating what that could be. What could be big enough to make him leave an Iron Man, which is a high-profile Marvel book, you'd assume?
Maybe it'll be video game related.
Hopefully this means that you can read Iron Man again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept that comment to myself online, but that's the first thing I thought about. I was like, ooh, I can go back to reading Iron Man again.
I tried. Hopefully. I have tried so many times over the last, you know, 2-3 years, whatever. Especially this last time they made the push with, I think it was issue 25.
And the Rings and Mandarin.
Yeah, I just cannot.
I didn't even try that.
I tried it, and I was just like, yeah, no. Like, I remember I tried the first two issues of the very, you know, Marvel Now, and I was like, yeah, I'll wait till the space story starts, because that's all I cared about was him in space. I jumped on that, and I actually read the whole arc where, was it the secret origin of Tony Stark, and then I read like the first two issues of the Iron Metropolis or whatever, and I was just like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then the Rings of the Mandarin came, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll try that. No.
Well, and the problem was, like especially with Rings of Mandarin, they build it as being this, you know, a point one. So instead of having a new number one issue, it was, you know, a point one. This is where you could jump on board if you're a new reader and get it. And you jump in there. There's Dark Angel. There's no mention of why she's there or what her powers are. She's just there. You've got this little blue-skinned demon guy. You don't know who he is or what exactly his deal is, but he's there. Tony Stark has been through something terrible, but he never says what it is, never recaps, you know, what's been going on in his book. So for a title that was supposed to be for new readers and a jumping-on point, they did the worst possible job of making it accessible. And I remember getting done with that first issue, that number 25, and just being like, nope. Like, this is everything you're not supposed to do when you jump on new readers. Like, this was the exact opposite. So whoever they replace him with, I have the fullest confidence in. Hopefully it's Chuck Austin. That'd be a step up for Iron Man.
Going back to the Mark Waid thing, I thought I saw an article where it said that people were glad that he was off Hulk. Was Hulk that bad?
I don't think it was that bad. It wasn't going anywhere.
I've been reading it and kind of looking back. I'm trying to figure out why I stayed on it so long. One, I enjoyed the art, which, of course, always sucks me in. It actually, and now that I think about, like, going back and thinking about it, nothing was really resolved with the him becoming an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and getting his own science team. That really never went anywhere.
Right. But I thought the resolution of that particular storyline was pretty weak. So, you know, that was probably the death knell for his run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, there was just something, it seemed like a good premise, a good concept, and it just didn't pan out. So, you know, that was probably, you know, that was disappointing for me a lot, you know, from my perspective, but that's probably what led to, you know, they try to reinvigorate the run by rebooting it and starting off with like a semi murder mystery. So it hasn't worked out.
Wait, is Remender still doing Captain America?
Yes. And that's actually not, you know, not doing well for me either.
I'm wondering if he's going to leave Captain America to do that crossover, Avengers X-Men crossover. So Gillen is going to go over and do Captain America.
That's interesting.
So maybe Waid would do Iron Man.
Musical chairs, right?
Waid actually said he was leaving Hulk so he could concentrate more on Daredevil and Thrillbent.
Oh, well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's doing well on Daredevil. He's, you know, that's one of my that's definitely one of my potential clicks of the week this week. I enjoyed reading Daredevil this week.
I had to give up Daredevil. He's
really
well.
It's really well written.
Yeah, I mean, I read like the last 10 plus issues of the previous chapter just because everyone like was saying how awesome it was, and it is. But it kind of comes down to with Fantastic Four, I just don't care about Daredevil. So, what's good, but I mean, I'm reading a book about a character I don't really care about anything about, so it had to go. But I was going to say, Remender, I don't know, I wonder if he will leave Cap, because in all his interviews, he always talks about how he's like this long-form planner of stories and whatnot. It seems like he's got this big, huge thing planned for Cap.
No, but he's almost at the issue number that he has it planned out to, because
is it 25 in August?
Exactly, 25, 26, something like that. So, you know, it seems like a natural stopping point, like if he's kind of told the story he wanted to tell.
Okay. Just making the spreadsheet back up. Oh, I was going to also add, apparently, if people deduce from the solicits, and I think I saw one website like confirm it, that Warren Ellis is leaving Moon Knight in August.
That's quick.
Yeah, really.
But supposedly quick, he does short books, apparently, or short stints on books.
Well, I was about to say, some of that was because the books may or may not have sold that great. It wasn't that, I mean, they sold all right, at least the one or two that I can think of. You know, so
probably a lot of it was there. personality conflicts with editorial.
Think so?
Yeah, I'd say that I've heard a lot of stories over the years about him and his inability to be a team player.
Now I'm gonna go and look and see who the editor on that book is. And now I haven't been enjoying it like everyone else has. That's just me personally.
Really?
I mean, again, it goes back to I don't really care about Moon Knight. So, like, I read last week or 2 weeks ago issue and him beating up the ghosts. It was fine. I didn't like the stupid outfit he had on. The Pharaoh outfit or whatever.
Right. Looks like an old grown stork.
Yeah. And supposedly Declan Shelby said that he'd leave whenever Ellis left, so I say just cancel the book again. make it a limited series.
That may be what happens. They may just make it a 6 or 7 issue limited series and call it.
But supposedly they said like his run won't even he won't even complete a full volume of it. You know, like the collected trade volume. He'll be like an issue short.
Well, on the latest sales numbers, Moon Knight was actually book number 44. So it just missed the top 40. Sold just under Ultimate Spider-Man and just above Hulk. So
I'm going to go with your theory that it's editorial.
Yeah, there's probably a really strong element of that.
Which would be kind of odd to think about because like Marvel's kind of been killing it with this, you know, these new number ones and all these solo characters getting their own books and kind of having the indie vibe of having a quirky artist and the writer telling his own stories and the books aren't, you have to worry about continuity and you're tied into other Marvel events and whatnot. So you think Moon Knight would fit in that category?
It sold better than Silver Surfer, sold better than Wolverine, sold better than Ms. Marvel, better than Captain America, better than Fantastic Four.
Of course, it's also a lower number book, so.
Better than Iron Man, better than Avengers World, better than X-Force.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, it's better than She-Hulk, better than Black Widow.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, I forgot Silver Surfer had a book.
I did, too.
I like Silver Surfer.
It's actually good. I like the Silver Surfer book. It's quirky.
I read the first issue. That's all I needed to read. I love you, Dan Slott.
It's not a bad-selling book, really. I mean, when you look at the overall numbers, it's in it.
I don't think sales have anything to do with him leaving.
And you cut out Dirt.
I'm just saying the sales are not bad at all. It's in a very comfortable spot as far as sales go. So there's no way that he's leaving that book because the sales are, you know, underperforming. There's no way that they're saying anything like that. It's definitely in a very comfortable place. So it's got to be personalities or, I don't know, maybe he had a heart attack or something. He needs to take time off. Who knows? But.
He's got that Trees book coming out for Image, which I'm pretty sure I won't like, even though I like Jason Howard, the artist. Ellis and Gillen, those kind of writers that I don't get their stuff.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Ellie Powell and Nick Lowe are the editors of Moon Knight.
Okay. I don't really know anything about either one of them, so. I just thought it'd be nice to know who the editors are. I'm trying to keep up with who editors are on books now, especially at Marvel, at least. So I can see like what their brand is.
Their wheelhouses.
Yeah. Batman versus Superman got an official title. It is Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, people were kind of making comments like being bummed about it, but it's really not that bad.
I mean, it's really
it is
setting up for the Justice League. I mean, that's a perfect title. Yeah, exactly.
And you know what's funny? I shout out to Eclectic. I think I read a tweet of his where, you know, or maybe I read it a number of times online where, you know, it's a Superman sequel, but he gets second billing in the title. I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah, that was yesterday.
Just don't even think of it as a Superman sequel.
Yeah.
Because I don't. Well, yeah, I don't.
So. Hey, speaking of, go ahead.
I was going to say, how do Amy Adams and Lawrence Fishburne and them feel? Like, hey, we're in the Superman, you know, franchise, and hey, it's a sequel. Now we're the eighth villain in the movie.
They're probably fine. They're getting their checks.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was about to say, I was kind of getting off the topic actually, because I thought there was news of there was rumor of a Namor movie since Eclectic got brought up, because we had talked about that when that news came out, but forgot to put it in the lineup, but it was only a rumor anyway.
Well, he is getting that animated movie. That news came out about that.
Mm.
You know, the new 52 and animated movie thing they're doing, two each year, or three, two in the new 52 universe and then a standalone film.
Wait, Namor?
Oh, I thought you said Aquaman.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, that, we talked about that because Classic had mentioned that also. But
one of them, the creature heroes.
No, the King of Atlantis. No, the other one, the King of Atlantis. No, the one that's underwater.
Yeah, there's rumors about Namor again. I guess, what, Universal? Is that like the only superhero they have the rights to?
I guess. I don't know. It's like, yeah. But yeah. The Eclectic was talking about putting that one together with doing the Wakanda Atlantean War. I'm sitting here like, yeah, that's going to be a little bit of a setup, and I don't think they would do that, but sure.
And speaking of Batman versus Superman, one of the writers on the film, David Goyer, had some controversial comments regarding She-Hulk that enraged fans.
Yeah, and it wasn't just him. It was the guy. It was the whatever podcast thing he was talking to. They were kind of making some really silly, crazy comments. But
yeah. We can never get. How come we can't get people to come out on our podcast and make crazy comments to spike web hits?
Give us time.
We don't have enough ignorant, lonely, self-absorbed chicks that listen to our show.
No.
Oh, wow.
I'm hoping. I'm trying.
We'll transcribe this.
Please note back to his earlier.
The views expressed herein are solely the views of PCN_dirt. And do not.
I mean, the moment, the first time I saw someone freak out about this thing, I was like, wait, what's going on? So then you go back and you actually. You know, he's on this goofy podcast. They're joking around. No one's being all that serious. And now suddenly it's like the giant controversy on the planet. It's like, I think we got bigger things to worry about besides this. And it's not even like he even said anything that's that big of a deal. It's like, come on, let's move on.
Well, I mean, he was factually wrong about one or two things. But I was I almost wonder if it was just like, yeah, I'm just going to throw these out here just for whatever. Let the nerds fly, you know. Because he also said something about Martian Manhunter, which nobody cares.
Part of what he was doing, though, they were saying, like, how do you pitch the character, or how do you make a modern movie with these characters that haven't been done or whatever? And so he's just kind of like throwing ideas out there, and some of the stuff that he's talking about, where he's talking about this, you know, you take Hulk as being this male fantasy of having power and being powerful and whatever, and so you're creating a She-Hulk that's like the female version that, you know, it's someone strong enough that he can deal with. And they go, well, technically in the story, it's his cousin. It's like, well, yes, technically in the story, it's his cousin, but he's not talking about the character specifically. He's talking about that kind of archetype character that you're playing one off of the other. And the intricacies of how the characters actually interact is not the point he's trying to make, you know? So anything that he said was more about thematic use of the character, not necessarily the storyline and the history and the plot. So people freaking out about all this stuff, it's like, you know, get Affleck out of the Batman Superman movie first. That's the number one thing. That's the biggest problem we have to worry about. This is like number 12 on the list, you know?
I was just going to say, I still think there's just some things you shouldn't say. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
And I've learned that it was a hot topic on social media because I was just reminded that when I woke up this morning and checked my Twitter feed, I had some random person in my mentions yelling at me about some tweet I made last night. It wasn't even a bad tweet. I wish I could remember what it said. Oh, I said it's awkward or ironic timing that these comments came out the same day that the movie title was announced. And some guy left me a tweet like, shut up. Like, oh.
Yeah, well, it is a platform that kind of breeds that kind of stuff. So, what, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, people love to be bothered, and they love to be able to, you know, just say that, you know, look at me, I'm really horribly bothered by this, pay attention to me because this really hurts my feelings and whatever. And it's like, you're not that important, you know. Yeah. And this guy's obviously not talking to you, you know, this wasn't aimed directly at you. He's not sitting in Burbank looking into your, you know, one-room apartment in Soho. You know, it's like, get over it. Move. If you don't like it, you don't like it. You can say, hey, I don't agree with this. But, I mean, the way that they're – we have to boycott every movie that David Goyer has anything to do with. And it's like, come on, you know. It's,
I like to call that the rabble rabble.
Yeah.
The Hamburglar?
Rabble, rabble, rabble.
Your tears are delicious.
I wish I could get people that mad at me. I would love it.
And it means you're doing something right.
Yeah, exactly.
People paying attention to you. And, of course, Stan Lee had to comment. That's not really news.
Yeah. The guy who created Stripperella had problems with the way they were patronizing a female character in comic books. Come on.
Well, no, it wasn't even that. He was basically, as far as that was going, he was just like, well, yeah. He basically said, well, yeah, superhero wins are, you know, are body like that, but all of them are. So, you know, that was basically one of his last statements. So,
finish the news real quick. Some lady from the middle, Eden Scher, met with Marvel Studios about some unannounced role. Disney animates Marvel's Big Hero 6 in first trailer. And I guess Disney came out today and announced that they're going to do standalone Star Wars movies along with the trilogy, the main series movies.
And that wasn't news.
Nope. So, time to get to reviews. I guess we can start with the big one, which was Forever Evil number 7, the much delayed.
Yeah. Loved it. The end.
What did you know? What did you love as you try to get the cover up?
Yeah, as I'm trying to pull it up here because I haven't used this in, like, you know, 45 minutes as we've been sitting here. So now it's, like, all super ass slow. Let's see here. Good. Did that do it? All right. Let's see. I love how they killed off one of the villains that you didn't expect to get killed off, one of the Lex Luthor's guys, who I don't want to spoil it. But here's the thing. Lex Luthor in this book, they really did a great way of explaining how everything he's done that has been evil wasn't for the sake of evil, it was for the sake of ego. And he is just an egomaniac. And he's discovering that being heroic can satisfy his megalomania.
Well, that's if you're reading Justice League number 30 in conjunction with this.
Yeah, well, the two definitely go hand in hand.
Right. So I think just reading this on its own, I don't think you get that. We might as well just talk about Justice League 30 in conjunction with it. You know, because that really plays into how you read this book now, or how I sort of reinterpreted what happened in Forever Evil.
Because he did save Superman's life, and he didn't have to. in Forever
Evil. Right. See, my problem with how I read Forever Evil was, okay, this is happening, and it's like three pages of story, and then it flips over to another aspect of what's, you know, of the other side of the story. And I'm like, wow, that's really disjointed, but it does tie up loose ends and set up stories going forward.
Right.
So I had a lot of difficulty processing, you know, what happened, because it's been so long. I couldn't remember where we were. I thought that, you know, everyone busting out of Firestorm's matrix was just, it happens in a page. I'm like, so how did this happen again? I don't remember what happened.
Well, yeah, but that's also not necessarily a problem of the story, but a problem with the editorial.
Right.
Because this book should have come out like 2 months ago.
Right.
And so if it had come out in the time frame it was supposed to, you know, it would have worked a little bit better as far as that goes. I think if you sit down and you actually read 1-7 as a complete arc, you know, as they say, writing for the trade, once you sit down and read it, it is a really good story. And I love the ending of it, because the final page reveal in Forever Evil reintroduces one of those characters that, for me, that is part of the reason why I read comics was because of this character.
Really?
Yes, that entire made me groan.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh.
That entire storyline is one of the reasons why I got into comics in the first
place. Not again. What I was thinking was, not again.
Well, yeah, but this is the new 52. It hasn't happened before.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, like, it's – I'm looking at it from my own perspective and from what I remember. And, you know, as I'm fond of saying, I go back to pre-crisis. So, you know.
I guess the difference in how you look at it kind of comes with the idea that, you know, if you read what's happening in, say, Avengers, where Captain America is turning on Tony Stark. It's like, I've seen that before, and I've seen that a half a dozen times.
Right.
You know what I mean? And especially even... 5-6 years ago when they did Civil War, they did the exact same thing with Iron Man, Tony Stark, and Captain America. So it's like you're seeing the same thing happening over and over and over, and their continuity as well. Everyone just kind of forgets every couple of years, and nobody really gets any older.
Well, at least it's over a different issue. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, like
well, one. But,
no, but the point is, it's like, all right, so they bring the anti, you know, spoiler alert. So they bring this character back, and it's like, oh, wait, does that mean there's another crisis coming?
Well, you got to understand, that's the whole point of the Red Sky that you saw 2 issues ago.
Exactly.
Was that is the coming crisis.
Right.
So as soon as, but see, I got excited for that. I was like, oh, that means there's a crisis coming.
Whereas I look at it as like, oh, no, not again. So there's always going to be, you know, that's both sides of the coin.
Yeah, because since I have no history with DC books, I saw the end. I got to the last page, saw the anti-monitor. I was just like, okay. But like all the stuff that Hickman Mumbo Jumbo has finally been seeding and coming to fruition in the new Avengers and Avengers with what looks to be another like Avengers Disassemble or Civil War, that has me excited because I'm invested with those characters.
Well, and I love, we've got Ted Kord, Blue Beetle. He's coming back. We got his reintroduction here. Owlman is out on the loose, so he can start showing up in Batman Eternal and start making some stuff. And I love that character. I've loved him forever. You've got Superwoman Lois Lane.
Who's, Owls. That's where that's going.
Yeah, probably. We've got Lois Lane, Superwoman from Earth 3. She's carrying Shazam's child in her belly. And it'll be interesting to see what the heck happens with that, because I don't even know where you go with that storyline. You've got Lex Luthor figuring out Batman's alter ego, which also ties in with the Justice League.
Justice League number 30. That was pretty interesting.
But if they're going to reboot the universe with another crisis, then the baby doesn't matter.
Right.
Well, but they don't always, when you've got a crisis storyline, the crisis isn't always about rebooting. Sometimes it's about nuancing little shifts here and there, and sometimes it's about fixing mistakes that they've made along the way with certain characters. So I've always enjoyed the crisis storylines. Going back to Justice League 30, I love what they're doing with Lex Luthor. I love how this book helps to put all of it into perspective that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've seen about Luthor, we've heard about Luthor over the years. If you've been reading the Superman comics, or whatever, he talks about how you know, he didn't want to face failure so many times in his life, so he either avoided a conflict or he approached it in some completely different manner. And we find out a lot of these stories he's telling people have been lies, that he did attempt and he did fail, and now he's trying to cut that out of his life. And so it becomes much more of a character piece about him and kind of defining who he is as a person, which is much more than just, hey, I'm a bald guy who's rich, so I want to control everything. You know, he's not just this one note villain. They are nuancing him with all these subtle flavors. So that's another reason why I really liked what happened in Forever Evil and how it plays directly in with Justice League 30.
What's your speculation on who the supervillain group was that was in the shadows in Justice League 30?
Oh, yeah, they mentioned the name of one of those characters, and I meant to look it up, and I forgot to do that.
Yeah, they gave a name, Captain Trainer? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I know the Power Ring, Earth 3's Green Lantern, he died, and Power Ring flew out to find some girl, and you see this girl here. She was actually in the Green Lantern comics just very briefly, Jessica Cruz. And she's apparently going to get the evil Green Lantern power ring. I know that's who that character is. So she's a return of somebody that you didn't think was going to be important. But that Shadow Team, I forgot to Google that. So that's something we'll have to put on my research list for this week.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention how convenient it was that the Earth 3 Trinity are the only surviving members of the crime syndicate.
Well, yeah, and Owlman is not necessarily a villain, and he never technically was any time within the story. He was just basically trying to save himself and save the people he cared about, so he went along with them. So, I mean, I like that aspect of the character, and that has happened before in the comics, where he isn't necessarily all bad. He ended up actually being, in the last, you know, pre-52 DC Universe, he ended up becoming a member of the Justice Society for a while. So he did actually become one of the heroes. So they're kind of playing off of that as well.
Okay. Anything else for Forever Evil?
I guess the only other thing to mention is Justice League of America also came out. Number 14.
Yeah, we might as well throw that in there because they tried to wrap up that book.
Yeah, and this was actually supposed to come out before Justice League United. So
yeah, that didn't work.
There's stuff in here that plays into that. And, I mean, it just kind of goes back to the fact of everything we've talked about with Justice League United is the same problem here with Justice League of America, that this is the B team, you know. You've got a Green Lantern nobody cares about. You've got Green Arrow. And this doesn't even tie into his book at all. His book is in a completely different place. You've got Katana, whose series was canceled, so they just threw her in here so that she'd have a place to go. At the end of this book, Hawkman just kind of takes off, does his own thing. He's gone, not even going to be in Justice League United, it looks like. You've got Vibe has disappeared. Element Woman has disappeared. So all
Hawkman's United. Isn't he?
Yeah. He's just there for them to fight in space, and then he's supposed to go off on his own thing, which leads him to being part of the planetary or authority or whatever that is for Future's End.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, speaking of which, in Forever Evil, they teased that, maybe it was Justice League 30, they teased that Vibe and Element Woman are missing?
That was in Justice League of America. That's in here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so, you're right. I think they mentioned that also. They mentioned it a second time, didn't they?
So what's up with them, I wonder?
Well,
are we just supposed to just forget they exist, maybe?
Well, no, my guess is, I don't know about Element Woman. Element Woman I'm not sure of as much, but Vibe does have the ability to move in between the parallel dimensions, and that was supposed to be the whole gimmick of his book, was that he could jump from Earth to Earth. And so I'm guessing that with The figure that comes in at the end of Forever Evil that's setting up for the next crisis, with all of that type of stuff going on, Vibe is going to be some part of that whole storyline. So he's probably going to have to go off and accidentally bump into one of these universes that's been eaten and destroyed, and try to get back to his universe to warn everybody.
He'll probably play a role like Booster Gold, where he was taken off the grid or the map for a certain amount of time until it's time for him to be brought back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, and Booster Gold is coming back for Future's End. So Vibe will probably come back for whatever this crisis is.
Yeah. Seeds being planted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What other books? What was that?
So let's get to the other event since we're on.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, yes, the other event being Original Sin 2, right?
Yep.
I enjoyed this book. I had fun with it. I actually chuckled at the end. You know, the ending that that I know Tim wasn't so keen on. I smiled. I was just like, really? And that makes me want to pick up the next issue. I was like, wow, that was just wacky. So I really want to see what happens next.
Yeah, there was an interesting amount of humor in this issue.
Was it?
Yeah, it's wry humor. Yeah. It's dry. It's, you know, I thought it was, you know, pretty witty. And, you know, it made me smile. I almost laughed out loud.
But did it feel out of place for being a big
because it's dark. It's dark. And it's dark humor. And I thought it was well placed.
See, yeah, I mean, I got the humor, which is fine. I guess maybe taking a cue from Dirt, like, I don't know if it was so much out of place. It was just, I guess, for one, I said, at least for now, I'm enjoying the tie-in series stuff from Avengers more than I'm enjoying the Original Sin, because in Original Sin, nothing besides the Watcher being killed, nothing has really happened to me.
Well, you got to get up there. You got to build up to that, though.
Right, because it's still a murder mystery. They still have to investigate and follow up leads. So if you think about like an hour cop show drama, you know, where they have to, you know, use the first 20 minutes or even half an hour to investigate what happened. So
my fear is with, you know, how Marvel events go, where there's a lot of dead space in the middle before you get to the, you know, beginning and the end are the exciting parts. So even with the murder mystery, it's going to be even more, just drag this out. Oh, let's give you a bunch of red herrings. Let's give you some dude that has an eyeball for a head that no one knows as a possible.
I thought that was hysterical. When I saw that, I was just like, they did what?
obviously, whoever this dude is, eyeball man, isn't the real killer.
That completely cracked me up, though.
Yeah.
I guess. It didn't do anything for me. And what else? I think that's about the only gripes I had. Yeah,
I'm kind of wondering who was. I thought the thing looking dude that was in the mix. That wasn't the thing.
Another Earth, the Crisis Earth.
Maybe,
like, you gotta wonder if that plays a role in, you know, like we talked about the solicits, and we're not gonna spoil too much, but there's some, you know, there's a couple of covers, or at least one cover for FF that leads you to believe that this alternate thing may have. May impact the story in FF sooner rather than later.
So it's like the thing's brother from a different mother? Is that what we're talking about here?
Maybe.
It's from Earth 3.
So he's the villain. The
Earth 3 thing.
Well, I don't know. So
does that mean he's the opposite of rock? He's made out of sponge, or?
No, he's made out of rock. Oh, actually, that kind of reminds me of something. I've been playing Marvel Heroes, and there was a character, well, there was a group, I can't remember the name, that actually looks like the thing that come in groups, and I should have looked them up, but that, it might be one of them, but I don't know. Maybe someone significant.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Another book worth mentioning, I guess another big book would be Amazing Spider-Man 2. Not the movie, but the comic book.
Absolutely. I enjoyed reading this. There was the expected confrontation that wasn't a confrontation between Peter Parker Spider-Man and his Avengers teammates. And I just thought, you know, the way Slott wrote it and the way, it turned out, I just thought it was, you know, it was funny. I don't know if it was all that good, to be perfectly honest. I don't know if the story was all that strong, but, you know, Slott's kind of finding his legs again, writing Peter Parker. And, you know, by making things funny, you know, what he's hoping to do is make the transition a little easier.
I enjoyed it more than the first issue.
Okay.
Because it seemed like a lot more happened this issue. You had the tease for Silk at the beginning. You had the back and forth witty banter between Peter and Anna Maria. That was kind of fun to me. They threw Johnny Storm in there.
Right.
I assume Electro's in the story.
Yeah, I was going to say stuff with Electro and his powers going, I guess, haywire. And
Electro mention the Punisher at all since he just came out of that series?
Of course not.
No, they mentioned in passing something having just happened to him, but they don't say, like, go check out recent issues of Punisher.
Well, that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And I'm trying to remember Spider-Man went and met with the Avengers to explain what happened to him the past couple months. He clocked Captain America because that's what heroes do. They fight each other when there's disagreement.
Okay, well, that's going to bring up something in the book I was going to do next. Because I haven't been reading either one of these Amazing Spider-Man. Has he? Clearly, it sounds like he might have changed a little bit, but did he? Has Peter changed a little bit?
No.
Okay. It's just that he's, you know, what it is that it's this catch up that he's playing. It's probably run, you know, like it's affecting him, you know, and kind of making him a little bit more on edge, obviously. You know, it's just more on edge than Parker would normally be, you know?
Okay.
So, you know, the reason for the punch, spoiler in the belt. The reason for the punch to Cap is over Flash Thompson, you know. So it's kind of out there. I was kind of shocked by it. I was like, why is he reacting like that? That's just weird, you know. There's an overreaction if you ever saw one, right?
All right, let's see. Anyone want to throw a book out?
Yeah, let me go ahead and throw this one out while we're on that. Amazing X-Men number 7.
I read that. That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I always love that description for a book. That was weird.
I just had this weird experience reading that because it's obviously meant to, you know, make readers wax nostalgic for Spider-Man and his amazing friends because it involves Spider-Man, Firestar, and Iceman. And, you know, it's a one-off story. Catherine Immonen actually writes it. And, you know, it was just, I was kind of reading, I was like, wow, you know, some of this characterization is not what I think of when I think of these characters, especially Firestar.
Exactly. Because I was thinking that the whole time, I was like, wait a minute, Angelica's not usually this, well, I mean, my vision of it, I guess, because I hadn't read her one-shot, I'm pretty much going off of Amazing Friends.
I remember her as, you know, the character that Kurt Busiek tried to develop when he put Firestar and Justice, you know, Vance Astro on the Avengers.
Right.
You know, that's what I remember her character as. Obviously, she's gone through a lot since then. That's a long time ago now. You know, she lost her powers, I think.
Yeah, and she was
had a bout with cancer. Now back.
Yeah.
So.
And some of that uncertainty was still there at the beginning, like in Amazing X-Men 1, because there was something that I remember from that Avengers run. But this one was like, wait, who is this woman?
Yeah.
Kind of. And Iceman was being Iceman, but it was still like this little extra on top.
Sure.
But the part of it was like, okay, Spider-Man was like, seemed to be a little Since you said, well, that too, but which, like I said, it kind of plays into the character a little bit, but it's like, it was like the part with the phone booth. It was like, that was a little much. You could have just said, hey, don't call. Like, it was like Angelica goes to call somebody for some reason. He just rips the phone booth out from on top of her and just like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it was just weird. It was an enjoyable story. It was, but it was very weird. And there was no Miss Lyon, so that pissed me off.
Get to see him in New Warriors.
Miss Lyon. Oh my goodness.
Was that the poodle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or wait, was it a poodle? Or was it? Oh yeah.
It was a fluffy dog. I don't know what kind of dog it was. It's definitely a fluffy dog. Miss Lyon. That's funny. I would have loved to see like a transforming headquarters though.
Exactly.
Right? That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. You know, or if they had actually just done like one of their transformation, you know, like costume changing scenes.
Yeah.
If they had done that, I would have cracked. I would be like, all right, that wins for me.
Right, because the only bit you see is like Iceman has already changed, and then Angelica starts to change when you know, Spider-Man buggers off.
Exactly. So, and poor Tim is just like, what are these guys talking about, these old farts? Right?
I was waiting for a moment to chime in on just Amazing X-Men as a book overall.
Well, yeah, this is a one-off. This is definitely, you know, kind of a special one-issue, you know, break in between story arcs.
I feel like this book serves no purpose anymore. Part of that is because Jason Aaron isn't writing it anymore.
Right.
And it was, you know, this was the book he was leaving Wolverine and X-Men for. Oh, now he's leaving this after like four or five issues or four, whatever it was, because he's got some other stuff cooking in the fire, or whatever the phrase is. So it's like,
when Nightcrawler has his own book.
Right. That Chris Claremont is writing, so.
Yeah. That won't last long either, unfortunately. I do enjoy Todd Knott's art, though.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
But yeah, Chris Claremont. Yeah.
Was there another? That's what, because they, in the story, there was an allusion to. Well, not an allusion. They basically bring up the fact that, hey, you know, are we sure this is the real Spider-Man because of, you know, X, Y, and Z? But did they interact at any time when Doc Ock was in place?
I'm probably.
He did. Well,
I know there was an X-Men when they did the team up, but I don't remember either one of those characters being there.
In Avenging Spider-Man, whatever, the X-Men guest starred.
Right.
In like the second issue after the mind switch, because Paco Medina did the art on it.
That was the one where he clocked Wolverine, right?
Probably.
But I don't remember either one of them being there, Iceman and Firestar.
I remember Beast and Wolverine being there. Storm, maybe.
Who knows? Well, you know, it's funny. Like, they just explained it away. Like, yeah, word gets around.
Yeah.
You know? And because, you know, the whole, you know, whatchamacallit, Spidey Ock thing blowing up is probably big news. You know, it's a small world, obviously, in the Marvel U, and especially around, like, the East Coast. So, you know, you don't have to be completely out of the loop. And that's where the continuity comes in, right? Where they're all aware of what's going on and what's in some of the other books.
Okay. So that's Amazing X-Men number 7?
Mm-hmm.
Throw one out there, Dirt.
No.
tell me about Magnus, because I haven't read it.
Actually, I was just looking for that, as a matter of fact. Yeah, here we go. Magnus. This, again, was super enjoyable. Well beyond my expectations. So Magnus has woken up in this crazy world where robots are basically like the overlords and humans kind of work underneath them. And Magnus has this ability to spot weaknesses in the robots to destroy them very easily. And he's being hunted by this human, Leja Klein, I guess is how you pronounce it. And she's got her own reality show. And so these cameras are following her around doing this reality show while they're fighting. And so, of course, there are times when, like, he turns on a TV and he realizes what he's seeing on TV is him, like she's getting ready to come up to attack. You know, you've got stuff where she pauses and it even says on the screen, two named female characters. And she turns to this other character. They talk to each other. Did you see where he went? Yes, he went in there and grabbed something called a book. And then at the bottom it says, they talk about something other than a man. My cat needs a new home. Are you interested? I'd love to, but I'm allergic. And it's like, bam, we passed the Bechdel test. Like, they're making fun of they make fun of comics. They make fun of reality TV. They make fun of the notion of Magnus being a robot fighter. Like, what does that even mean? Like, it's so self-depreciating and self-referential.
Self-deprecating means something completely different.
Self-defecating. That's what it is. It's self-defecating. Yeah. But yeah, it's just so enjoyable. Like everything about it just makes you happy while you're reading it. It's so much fun. All of the neat stuff that's going on in it. And as much fun as it is, there's really this intense kind of undercurrent where at one point the two characters are having this conversation and she says something along the lines of, you know, under robots, there's almost no sexual assaults. There's no hate crimes. Everybody has a job. Pay is equal across all gender and racial and sexual orientation lines. There's no more genocide. There's no more war. But he's looking at it, of course, from the other point of view that there's no freedom. There's no individuality. You know, there's no self-determination. So you've got this real, you know, kind of intense storyline, but layered on top of it is all this fun stuff and this, you know, funny, hilarious stuff going on at the same time. So it's something that if you just want to sit back and read a book and enjoy it, you can just enjoy the story for what it is. But it works on the same level as, you know, some other great stories out of literature where underneath the jokes and underneath the fun and underneath everything that's going on, there really is a real kind of conversation going on about, you know, what determination really is and what it means to be a person, a human, you know, what it means to have individuality. And so I just really love the book. I think I can't believe how well done it is. And the artwork is super nice. The artwork is very clean, very crisp, very detailed. And you never, even all these great action scenes and all the stuff going on, you never get lost. Everything is laid out just perfectly. So I love this book from top to bottom. This is probably going to be my pick of the week.
Click of the week.
All right. It's a ringing endorsement.
It is.
All right. Let me pick a book out here. That's Agent 70's books. Where is my list? There I am.
You don't know what you read? You can't just remember what you've read? You have to look at your list of what you've read?
No, I can't. I'm going to talk about Nova number 17. Another great issue from this underappreciated comic book, as I put into my notes. It deals with Sam Alexander coming home from one of his space adventures and seeing an eviction notice on their front door. So he wants to try to help his mom with some money, which he tries to solve by bringing a giant piece of space gold rock home and leaving it in the backyard. Because, hey, it's gold. It's got to be worth something. And
shenanigans ensue.
Actually, that's like a little short segment.
Okay.
Yeah, the issue's kind of filled with a whole bunch of short stuff. It's like there's that. There's a UFO convention in town, so everyone's speculating on what the weird lights are that are taking place in Carefree, Arizona, which of course are him flying off into space and coming back home. His sister puts on the helmet while he's asleep. That shenanigans happens from that, which is kind of funny.
Oh.
And it was kind of like a one-off issue because it's about to tie into tie it into Original Sin, I guess, next issue. It was just a nice little one-and-done story, you know, showing kind of like the mother-son relationship and how they get along with him being a superhero and his mom knowing that, you know, about it, and both of them trying to help each other. Good read. Paco Medina, he will be missed once he leaves to go to the legendary Star-Lord, which I will only read for his art.
Okay.
Until he leaves for something else, probably, because that's how they do.
All right. Brody Cat, you got something?
Yes. Harley Quinn, never mind. Wait, no. Actually, I will say real quick, Harley Quinn continues to be a strange read, but it's a fun one. The storyline that was going on now has to do with him. She's helping out some old dude from the 60s kill off a whole bunch of people, and it is really, really strange. So, but it was a fun read. That is not the cyborg you know and love, even though that is his name.
So he's not the droids you're looking for.
Very much. Yes.
Art's still pretty nice on that book, right?
Yes, it is. Chad, whatever his name is, the art is very nice.
Okay. Only other book I was going to bring up was MPH number 1 from Image and Mark Millar World.
You got to put together a good quote on that so he can publish it in
really.
Comic.
Yeah, I was debating that because I don't actually think it's a 5 out of 5, but about a 4 out of 5. It was a fun little comic. I like the artist who I can't remember his name right now. But the art was very, very nice. And the story was nice and simple, introductory issue about a drug called MPH, which gives, I guess, its user the ability to move really fast. And we're introduced to this guy that's a drug runner who gets busted, and he's in jail, and he breaks out with the drug, and I guess it sort of ties back to the world's very first super person back in the 60s. a lot taken. But yeah, I probably will give it a 5 out of 5 just so I can see if I can get on. Why not? I was thinking 4 out of 5. I can round up to a 5. Why not?
Oh, so you're just going to call it 4.5 out of 5 and round up?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know if I'd give it a 5. I'd give it a 4 out of 5. It's definitely a strong first issue because it makes me want to read the second issue. And that's a good thing. Oh, that's good. So let's see if there's something I want to throw out there. Just run over everybody's list real quick. Avengers World number 6. See, Roddy Cat read that. Just want to throw out very quickly. This was the Hyperion centric issue, right?
It was.
I enjoyed it for that, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed it for that. I'm glad to see, some of the, the fact that there are so many Avengers books, that there are characters that are getting shine. In the secondary and tertiary Avengers books, like if we're calling, like the way Uncanny and Adjectiveless X-Men were like the flagship X-Men titles for so long, Avengers and New Avengers are the flagship Avengers titles. So it's kind of nice to see Avengers World and Secret Avengers and just give some of these characters shine. And it's kind of, it's cool. I'm glad to see that they actually are developing Hyperion and making him more than just the Superman analog. Oh, come on! Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, that must be a hockey thing.
Must be.
Yeah. The best part is about, I'll finish up, the best part is about that Avengers World book was pretty much near the end, because I'm like, yeah, it was about Hyperion's conflict about, you know, where he is now as opposed to where he came from and getting plucked out of his universe and whatnot. The best part of that book was kind of tied back into the reason around why the thing exists is that they were invading AIM Island to go get their people, and that doesn't go quite as planned. In fact, they end up meeting one of their people to hilarious results. So, yeah, it was a decent read, though. Yeah. So, I'll throw out real quick X-Men number 14, because it was a decent read, too, or as I like to call it, Homeland Security. So the female X-Men kind of, you know, are starting trying to get official now, but as per happens at the school, the place gets attacked because they're trying to go after, somebody's trying to go after Jubilee's baby, which that person doesn't show up in his book, but you know, it just kind of deals with them trying to solidify the team and almost literally putting out fires.
My baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other books to be tossed out?
Velvet's still a book.
Want to do just rapid fire stuff? Because I got a bunch of books that I read.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at in this.
All right, so let me throw out some books. Let's see, Daredevil number 3. We talked about it before going on the air. I enjoyed this book. I like Wade's take on Matt Murdock, you know, and where how they're developing him being in San Francisco and dealing with the local superpowered people in San Francisco. One of Daredevil's longtime foes is reintroduced in the, you know, in the first couple of issues of this book in this opening story arc, and it's the Owl. I mean, I'm not spoiling things. It's issue 3 already. Come on, people. Yes, pull the goalie. Sorry.
Which superhero is that?
Yeah, so you know, Daredevil 3 is definitely good. I enjoyed reading it. That's always a good sign. Thor: God of Thunder number 22 is consistently good. There's definitely a slow burn on this, although we do see the makings of the confrontation between Thor and the head of Roxxon. The highlight of this issue, though, is the battle between the Daughters of Thunder, I think they're called, you know, Thor's granddaughters in the future against Galactus. That's pretty cool. You know, the way Esad Ribic, you know, draws it and the way Aaron writes it, that's a great, great confrontation, and it's worth the read just for that, because the present day Thor storyline with Roxxon and S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Rosalind Solomon is moving kind of slow. Like I said, it does, you know, we do see where, you know, a confrontation building, but the battle between the daughters of, or the granddaughters of Thunder and Galactus is pretty cool to see. Uncanny X-Men number 21, throw this out there. We finally get some movement in the story. Like, oh, wait, you know, something happens to Dazzler. We finally get not resolution, but we have some movement in what's been happening to Dazzler, because she's been, spoiler alert, kidnapped and become a source of a mutant growth hormone. She's been like that for a long time now. So, you know, it's kind of nice to see that, you know, that part of the story is moving along, and hopefully we'll see some resolution. Magneto plays a role, for God's sake. And, you know, he does kind of play he kind of pops up in the story. I don't recall what happened in the last issue, how much of a role he's playing, but he just sort of pops up and he says, oh, wait, I'm here to save the day. I found, Dazzler being kept in Madripoor of all places. I would suspect that, you know, the issue before this, Magneto does show up in Madripoor. I just don't recall. But, You know, that seemed kind of out of place for me. But if I pulled out the last issue, you know, it wouldn't be so bad. But otherwise, it's nice to see this particular storyline moving forward. You know, we've been kind of in a treading water situation for a while. So, you know, I've been kind of sick of, you know, where the story has been going. I'd like to see this particular arc end. Come on! Sorry.
All right. I guess it's click of the week time.
Wait a minute. I want to throw out one more book. This week in print, we finally got Henchman. This was originally a Kickstarter issue. Dave Dorman did the cover art. And as you can see from the cover, these guys are dressed as bowling pins. This is the story of basically, random guys who are down their luck, out of work, they become henchmen for supervillains. And this particular supervillain has this bowling theme, so they find themselves in these ridiculous bowling pin costumes. And the book just kind of revolves around, you know, this guy down on his luck and why he becomes a, you know, henchman for this villain and how it sucks. And how everybody gets pissed off when the villain eventually, like, takes off and leaves them all there to take the fall, and all of that kind of stuff. The artwork was great. The story was fun. And because this was a Kickstarter, I did throw in some money to help this see the light of day. So if you buy a copy of this and you flip to the last page, you can see my name printed in the back of the book. Sweet. And so there you go.
Nice.
Now click it a week time.
Well, mine's easy. I pretty much gave it away. I'm going with Magnus Robot Fighter number 3.
Yeah, you guys are lucky I muted that just now. The video, the people out there watching live on YouTube know that the Rangers just tied up the game 28 seconds left.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. So we're on click of the week. Let me see what my click of the week is. I'm going to say, what did I enjoy the most? Daredevil number 3. I enjoyed that. Although Amazing Spider-Man number 2 is a very close second. Daredevil number 3, I just enjoyed. There's a couple of great just, you know, lines that, you know, you can kind of hear Matt Murdock say, you know, you can definitely hear, you know, hear him say to himself, like, oh, I'm not, you know, like, I can't believe this is happening again. So, it's just, I think it's just very well written.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I will go ahead and put out Amazing X-Men number 7.
Really? The weirdest book I read this week?
Yeah. I mean, it was still an enjoyable read. It was very much weird, but it was still enjoyable in all of that. Plus, come on, it's Spider-Man has amazing friends,
yeah, even though it was in it. still, you know, like, I finished reading Forever Evil number 7 with kind of a, like, groan, mm-hmm. right? You know, as I stated earlier, I finished reading Original Sin number 2 with a chuckle. Like, oh, okay, this is kind of funny. Let's see what happens next. But with Amazing X-Men number 7, I finished reading. I was like, what the heck was that? You know, which is kind of how I finished, you know, for the fans of the show who watched and listened into last week's episode, that's how I left Amazing Spider-Man number 2, the movie. It's like, what the heck was that? So, you know, and speaking of movies, real quick, I did catch Godzilla last night, and it was pretty good. For all the kaiju fans out there, it's definitely worth watching on the big screen. It's definitely worth trying to catch in IMAX. You know, it's the story is the story. It's a Godzilla movie. Come on, people. I didn't think I was going to like the rethought look of Godzilla with the shorter neck and, you know, just the overall look. It worked for me. It definitely makes Godzilla look more bestial, you know, and it's definitely much more authentic looking than Zilla or the Swamp Godzilla, whatever we're going to call 1998 Matthew Broderick Godzilla. So, you know, it's, I had a lot of fun watching it. So I recommend it to anyone who's a fan. And even if you're not a fan, give it a shot. You know, it's a fun movie.
And I've been sitting here debating my click of the week between MPH number 1 and Nova 17.
Number 5.
What?
Nothing.
Something number 5?
That's it, Velvet number 5.
I think I'm going to go with Nova number 17.
Nice. It's an out-of-the-box pick for you.
It was maybe it's fresh on my mind. It was the last book I read before the show. But I don't know, the art, awesome. The writing was great. Just nice little fun one-and-done story. I enjoyed it. So there you go.
Nice. Very nice.
Clicks of the week. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in live tonight. And if you didn't, if you're watching the replay, thank you for tuning into that. If you're listening on the audio podcast, thank you for that. Remember, you can watch us live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just go to theclicknation.com.
And be on the lookout for updates to theclicknation.com coming up over the summer.
Indeed. Thanks to Agent 70, getting that ball rolling.
Right. And look for more original content, too, from the other members of the Comic Book Chronicle.
As we're joined by Rey Mysterio. Make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Dirt is at PCN underscore Dirt.
Booyaka, booyaka.
Perfect. Agent 70 is at Agent underscore 70.
And who's soon to be put into the box?
What?
I said, who's soon about to be put into the box? Or...
Hockey reference. I got
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah. And at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. Ooh. And we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.